This is Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Thanks, Tom, very much for reading for us. One of Bill's plates, you can have that back. One of them actually had the map for how to lay out all the chairs in here, I think. I hope you're ready to listen to God's word today. Last time I preached, I had a complaint and a request at the end of the service. The complaint was from Ben King, who's about this high. And he came and complained to me that the Bible talk was far too short, please could I preach much longer. And the reason he gave me is because he's upstairs now with all the other children and you needed longer to play games. So there you are. You're going to have a real long one today, and you've got Ben to thank. Both his parents were utterly shocked that he'd come and told me this of his own volition and the like. I love that little guy. Fantastic. It's really good to have God's word, isn't it? And to have sung just a moment ago, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. There's a sense as well in which we turn our ears to his word and hear his truth and what he has to say to our lives and to our hearts today. And these psalms we're looking at, psalms of ascent, they are very precious, aren't they, the truths in them. So we come with that sense of turning our eyes to the Lord, turning our ears to hear his word. Got four things just by way of signposting to share with us today from this Psalm 124. Do have it open in front of you. The first thing is about us, and then three things about the Lord. So the first thing about us, the first little subtitle is this: our worst fears, and that's verses 3-7. There's a saying in English about fearing the worst. It's when we worry that the most terrible thing, the most unimaginably difficult or painful thing will happen to us or to our family, or to our church, or in our workplace, or even in our country. We talk about fearing the worst. I wonder, is there a similar phrase in German or in Chinese? Joyce, I don't know if there's a... Is there a similar phrase in Chinese for fearing the worst? I know, Bill, you, Sheila, Japanese. Adari, Ebi, is there a word in Dari for fearing the worst? Is that something which is universal around our world? We've got three folks who, you know, German is your main language. In rows down here, is there a similar phrase in German? Fearing the worst, catastrophizing? More than one word. You have to, yeah. Well, I know that in German, each word is a sense in itself, isn't it? So, it's, you know, yeah, so yeah, but you can connect with that. What about Chinese? Joyce, you speak Mandarin and Cantonese.
Well, it's quite good, actually, but they tend to be a bit like more meaningful. There's some saying, literally, just fearing the worst.
Prepare for the worst. Yeah.
Just go for it. And there's also something saying, like, literally, prepare to die. So the life, the worst, whatever the heart, whatever the death.
Right, prepare to die. Wow, goodness me. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What about you guys, Farsi or Dari? Is there a similar thing in your language about the worst thing happening and being prepared for it? No. Nothing. Well, all right. There's the philosophers at the back there. That's good. Yeah. So yeah, certainly in English, we fear the worst and talk about that happening. Some of that just is in the heart of this Psalm 124. It's absolutely true that most of our worst fears or concerns don't actually materialize. And often we will fear for nothing. We fear the worst, it doesn't happen, and we've actually been anxious for no reason at all. But the thing is, in our broken world, somebody woke up this morning somewhere and she found that what she thought was a nightmare was actually reality in life. Somewhere in Sheffield today, a man woke up and found their worst fears were coming about. That is the kind of world we live in. Often we fear things and they don't happen. But we live in a world where the worst does happen. It happens in our families, in our churches, in our city, in our countries, in our places of work. There's a catastrophe, a disaster, a trauma, and it happens, and it really does happen. And it's happening today for somebody. And maybe you can relate actually to that today here in church. Something's happened, and it was the worst thing imaginable, and you don't know what to do, and you're traumatized, and you're shocked by it. We can see the title from this psalm. King David wrote this song himself, a song of ascent of David. And we know from David's life, the records of the Bible in the books of Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, that David experienced a number of catastrophic events. He experienced a number of major disasters personally and also together in the nation that he led. Moments when, look at verse 3, they would have swallowed us up alive. Now that is earthquake language, a great chasm opening up underground, under your feet, and you falling into the abyss, into the dark oblivion of a bottomless pit. David said that happened. It felt like that. An earthquake happened and suddenly the ground opens up and I fall into oblivion. David says, that is what it's like, verse 2, when people, enemies, rose up against us. And when, verse 3 as well, their anger was kindled against us. Enemies have been so angry, so violently opposed to David and God's people. It was like the ground swallowed them up. Or they felt they were in danger of that happening. That's what angry opposition does. That's what hostility from others feels like. And then David also speaks in verses 4 and 5 in the language of floods. He moves from earthquake to flood. The flood would have swept over us, would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. That's flash flood language. When suddenly completely dry riverbed is filled with a swirling, frothing, foaming torrent of water. And David says that he and God's people had experienced moments when they were suddenly hit by something that put them into a tumble, put them in a spin. You don't know, you know, you feel like you're in a washing machine. You don't know if you're up or down. And you swim for what you think is the surface, but you're so disoriented, you actually swim deeper down, and you could drown in it. And it all happened in utter confusion, utter mayhem. And David said, that is what it feels like when angry opposition and hostility from other people threatens. And we can relate to the language of earthquake and a chasm opening up, can't we? We can relate to the language of being hit by something that puts us in a spin and we can't make sense of at all. Even months or years down the line, we can't make sense of it. And then moments as well in verse 6, we feel as prey to their teeth. Now that's the language of a savage predator that, you know, tears into you, bites chunks out and crushes bones. You know, the language of a hyena or a lion or something, crocodile. And then in verse 7, the language of the hunter, David and God's people felt that their enemies were so cunning and secretive and menacing, planning to trap them, the phrase is, like a bird from the snare of fowlers. And we know what it's like to feel that someone's trying to trap us, capture us, snare us, imprison us, lock us down. This is the language that we can experience in life. And, you know, being trapped, being snared, being torn into. Fee Bronson has been doing quite a lot of work recently and research and thinking around domestic abuse. And it's a really serious issue. It's a serious issue that affects churches. And I bet there are women who will relate to this psalm and the language in it of being trapped, of being crushed, of being abused, and not being able to get away from it. We still experience moments when great chasms open up under our feet, when torrents of trouble suddenly hit, engulf us and sweep us away. People are no nicer now than when this psalm was written. Enemies and opponents still hunt down, still tear apart. They still set traps to catch, cage, and imprison. But we mustn't forget the Lord. That's what this psalm is all about. The psalm takes the reality of our very worst fears that do materialize sometimes. And the psalm says, verses 1 and 2, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say, now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when people rose against us, then we would have lost it. Thank God that he was on our side and at our side. So our worst fears, and then three simple things, three wonderful things. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Turn your ear to his word and hear what he has to say to you, to me, in our worst fears. Three things about the Lord, three things from the Lord. And the first thing, the second point is this. The Lord is always beside us. The Lord is always beside you if you are his. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 repeats and underlines, the Lord who was on our side. The Lord who was on our side. David and God's people then, and we now, our church, we are never alone. And remember, you know, Chris Houghton and I did put a little video together at the start of COVID over a year ago, and just talking about isolation. And some of the things on that little video was just saying, you know, we're not on our own. You know, it's not isolation. It's that sense of how was the word? I can't even remember the word I used. It's that sense. Sorry, solitude. That's the word. Thank you for helping me out. Solitude. Solitude is kind of like got a long history in Christian language of, yes, humanly you're isolated, you're on your own, but you're not on your own. You're with the Lord. Solitude. The Lord has been with us. What a year it's been, separated from each other. But we are never on our own. We might be on our own physically, but the Lord is on our side. He is our companion, capital C. The best companion, capital C. Sometimes we'll feel desperately isolated, but it is not the case. We are never on our own if we are known by the Lord and if we know the Lord. And I think we need to help remind each other of this. I think just in the way that Psalm starts out is a really helpful way in which the Psalm kind of like meets us in our need with that repetition. There's a sense in which we can imagine the lead singers. We can imagine Vicky and Dan this morning starting off the song for us, verse 1, and singing out to us, "If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side," and they do that as a duet, leading us as we start as a congregation singing this wonderful psalm. And then Vicky says, "Look, that's an invitation. Let Israel say, join in, Christchurch Central, around, join in. Look around at each other, sing it to each other. Let Israel, let us, let God's people, let's remind each other, because boy, we forget this so easily. If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side," let Israel say, "if it had not been for the Lord on our side," and we all join in with the song. We need to remind each other of this amazing and wonderful truth. And it's so good that we've got this little run of Christian stories while we're doing this little mini-series of folks coming to the front and saying to us, "I remember a moment, if the Lord hadn't been there, it would have really gone badly belly up," like Bill shared today. Wonderful stories of the Lord being with us. And then the next line that the song underlines, the strength and the might and the power of our companion, capital C, our companion Lord, when the people rose against us. You know, basically saying, these people seem powerful, earthquake, ground swallowing us up, torrent of a flash flood swept away, jaws of a lion, sharp teeth, menacing cunning, you know, trickery of capturing us. Yeah, they all seem so powerful, and it seems so big and mighty and menacing and wise, the enemy. But no. When people rose against us, they rose against the Lord. We're not on our own. He is mighty. The Lord is on our side when folks rise up against us. Psalm 118, verse 6. Picks up something very similar. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man, what can people do to me? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He, the Lord, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can someone, what can a man do? What can a woman do? What can people do to me? It's the way that Hebrews 13 picks up and explains Psalm 118, verse 6. What a friend we have in Jesus. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms, He'll take and shield you. And you will find solace there. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your ears to be attentive to His word. This is what He's saying to us today. When it comes to our worst fears, the Lord is always beside us. Secondly, or third point, the Lord always keeps us. That's verse 6. Bless the Lord. The word blessing the Lord is basically saying that we praise, we glorify, we kind of generally go very, very big on God. Bless you, God. We go really big on His wonderful character and His mighty deeds and His powerful, life-giving, sustaining word. We go really big on blessing the Lord for all He is and what He's done and what He's said. We come to Him and we say, we wonder at Your love and we worship You. That's kind of what it means. So we bless the Lord. It's all bundled up in that little word, bless. Three word, bless the Lord. We're expressing that. And the specific thing to bless the Lord for in verse 6 is, He has not given us as prey to their teeth. You know, the enemy threatens and prowls and hunts down, But the law's not given us to their teeth. Now, what does that mean? Well, basically it means this. When catastrophe threatens to swallow us up, and when we're powerless before a disaster that would just sweep us away, when we're in very, very serious danger, right then, at that moment, the outcome of that moment, as horrifying as it is one, not in the hands of those who caused the earthquake. Two, the outcome is not according to the plan and the desired objectives of those who caused the powerful torrent. Three, it is not in the power of those who are hunting down with their sharp teeth to do harm. And nor is it in the power and the wisdom and the shrewdness, four, of those trying to trap, like trapping a bird. And nor is the outcome up to our great wisdom as to how we deal with this and make sure we don't fall into the great chasm, or the power of us to swim out of the great torrent, or the wiseness and the shrewdness to see ahead a way we might get trapped and to deal with it. It's not even that. It's the Lord. The outcome is the Lord's. Not anyone else's. He is there, and he will keep us. The outcome does not depend on the threat, nor on us, but on the Lord alone. And he's always there, and he always keeps us. Psalm 121, 7 and 8 says, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." And Jesus said in John 10, verse 29, "My Father who has given them," that is his followers, you and me, to me, Jesus says, "The Father, you know, you are a gift to the Son, to the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Father." And Jesus said, the Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. Our Father in heaven has the strongest hands in the entire universe. No one, nothing can snatch us out of his hands. And it's absolutely wonderful and absolutely brilliant. Our worst fears, the Lord is always beside us. Our worst fears, the Lord always keeps us. Our worst fears, the Lord always helps us. That's verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The phrase, the sentence that Charles was using to lead us all in prayer earlier on. What a helper, capital H. He thought, he's the creator, isn't he? He thought, planned, initiated, and spoke the entire universe into existence. Genesis 1 and 2. He maintains everything in the universe. That's what the Bible says. He controls all things. That's what the Bible says. He decides absolutely everything. That's what the Bible says. And he is our helper. Our helper is none other than the creator and the sustainer of the entire universe. He is the Lord God of it all, and he's the Lord God of the new creation too. He loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. His Son is the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in him, though they die, now will live. John 11, 25. His Son, the Lord Jesus, is Lord over death. This is the God who is on our side and who is our helper. He always helps us. He always keeps us, working back in reverse order. He is always beside us. And it's so well illustrated for us personally, and I think we must take this personally. I think we're meant to. And for us experientially, for us and for our lives, so well illustrated. And we were thinking about it a couple of weeks ago. Chris was preaching it to us from Luke chapter 24. Two people walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Two people for whom this psalm had become a reality. A great chasm had opened up under their feet and swallowed up their world and taken in a great whoosh of water all their hopes and dreams downriver. They'd witnessed and they'd felt the enemy's cunning and malicious tactics to trap, to capture, to kill. And Satan had done his worst, the very worst, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Buried in a tomb, done and dusted by Satan, the great powerful enemy. And they'd seen all of that and lost it all. And they had been tumbling in this great river that had taken them away. And they were utterly confused and didn't know how to make head or tail of it. And what do we read? Luke 24:15. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus draws right near and next to you and walks through life with you. He is the one that this psalm is about. It's about him and about how he deals with his people together, let Israel say, and how he deals with us as individuals. As we walk through life, when we face our worst fears, when they happen, when our nightmares come true, what an example it is. So those two walking down that road, the encouragement for us is whatever's gone on, is to engage with Jesus, to talk about him, to think about him, to bring all of our confusions to him. And the stunning and the amazing thing is that as we engage with him from wherever we are in our little knowledge of him, or our little bit more knowledge in him, wherever we are, whatever we know, if we engage with him, he will draw alongside us. That's the kind of God he is. He told the story about a father whose son had rebelled against him and taken all his money and run away. And he saw him at distance, and before he could hear anything the son said about repentance and confession to come out, he ran out to greet him. That's the kind of God he is. When he sees little people that are his own, suffering and bruised and anxious, and when the torrent has hit and they are just seeking him out, he draws alongside. He's right there. He will never leave us, never forsake us. And he has this powerful and amazing ability, like Luke 24, to take the darkest night and turn it into the brightest day. He turns death into eternal life as he wins forgiveness for sin and as he conquers death completely and utterly forevermore. What a friend we have in Jesus. Absolutely wonderful and absolutely brilliant. And just, you know, I'm not going to be doing one of these if it not been for the Lord. But some of what I just shared with you was just around Luke 24 was shared with me and Tanya when we got married back in 1989 at our wedding. Our vicar, Minister Max Wigley, said to us, life will not always be easy, but keep walking with Jesus. And he will walk with you. And I can stand and say today, as a dad, as a husband, as a grandpa, as a pastor of a church that's been through very unsettling and difficult times, if it had not been for the Lord at our side, it could have really gone belly up and bad. But he has been. And he is. And he will be. Fantastic, eh? In my heart, I want us to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, but I've chosen another song to finish with. And Can It Be? Because it's got that great line in about the Lord coming and just freeing us from being imprisoned in our rebellion and our sin. Thy night diffused a quickening ray, and we rose and we're set free by him to walk with him through life. So that's what we're going to sing And Dan and Vicky are going to come and lead us. So here in the room, please do stand and join in as well, those of you who are online.